Each day during the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the great annual pilgrimages that God commanded of Israel, where they congregated and camped out in Jerusalem for the feast, each day of the feast of that week, a great procession led by the priest would go from the temple to the Pool of Siloam and draw from the pool there a pitcher of water, and they would go back to the temple with this water. And at the water gate on the south side of the inner court of the temple, three blasts would sound from a trumpet made from a ram's horn. And as this took place, Isaiah 12, verse 3 was recited. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. At the temple, the priests march around the altar seven times, while the temple choir sang the Hallel, the Psalms 113 through Psalm 118. Then the water from the Pool of Siloam was poured out all around the altar. No doubt, in that last day of the feast, that great day, our Lord was in the crowd. And I believe at just this moment, as the high priest was to pour out the water from the Pool of Siloam, which was a symbol of the water that Moses drew from the rock when they were in their wilderness wanderings, Jesus stood up and shouted his great invitation that I want us to consider here in John chapter 7 and verse 37. In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water." No doubt, just as they did this for the last time and were pouring the water, which was the symbol, Jesus stood and made this great announcement. Can you imagine as it pierced the sound, the crowd of people were there, and all eyes turned to this humble man from Galilee. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Our Lord was and is inviting thirsty souls to come to him. This invitation has not been rescinded. In the authority of the word of God, I give it today. If any man will come to Jesus Christ, he will inviting thirsty souls to come for eternal, real, life-giving water that fills the heart, that fills the inner man with himself. Not just a drink from some temporal water that will soon be gone and you'll be thirsty for more. All the world can offer you is an experience or a good time or a thrill, and then what? Many at this time of the year have reached heights. They have gotten degrees. Parents are happy. Their pocketbooks are empty with great hopes. They see junior or senior walk down the aisle and receive various degrees. I was over at Sanford this last week on the day of the graduation, and the graduates looked okay, but the parents and the grandparents were just absolutely beaming and wanting their pictures taken. But I will tell you that all the degrees in the world earned, or any other thing that we could say, will only be just that. It has a temporary attainment and means a lot, but all the world can offer is just a temporary high. It's been pointed out that this great day, the 21st day of the seventh month, is the same day on which the prophet Haggai made a special prediction about the temple. In Haggai chapter 2, the prophet foretells the time when Messiah would return to earth, and a partial fulfillment of this prophecy is fulfilling now as Jesus is there offering to fill all those who are thirsty with himself. It is yet to be fully fulfilled when Messiah comes in great glory to this earth. All of this was symbolic of Israel's experience recorded in Exodus chapter 17. They came to the wilderness and they had no water, and they cried to Moses, and Moses cried to the Lord, and he said, "Strike the rock," and the water would come forth to quench their thirst. Over 1 million people, the Lord supplied that water for them miraculously. That water was a picture of the Spirit of God. Water is absolutely necessary. It is life-giving. It is often depicted in the Scripture as eternal life or the work of the Spirit or of God Himself. And when a believing sinner comes to Jesus Christ and trusts Him for salvation, they drink of that spiritual water that satisfies the soul. And they become channels of living water themselves. Our Lord prophesies that out of our bellies will flow rivers of living water. What a picture. What an odd picture that is. It is, upon its face, one of the strangest things that our Lord says. This water gushing as a geyser or as the Niagara Falls from a believer, a channel of blessing and nourishment to others, to a thirsty world. In John chapter 4, we've studied how the Lord, with that interview with that woman who came to draw water from the well, any of you who've been in countries where there's not running water, you know that that is a daily regimen where people will come with their buckets and with their containers. At the center of the city, there's usually a well. They'll take that water back home. What an arduous, difficult journey that is. To every bit of the water that will be used in cooking or eating has to be brought. And our Lord talked to that woman there, and He answered and told her, "Whosoever shall drink of this water," if you drink of just this well, that's all you're drinking of this earthly water, you'll get thirsty again. "But whoever drinks of the water that I'm talking about will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." And here on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, our Lord says, "Whoever comes to me and believes on me shall have this water given to him, and out of him shall flow rivers of living water." When a sinner comes to Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to indwell him, and we become a channel for the Lord. Think of that. The Lord who spoke the worlds into existence and who made such feats of nature as Niagara Falls and all the rest uses humble vessels like you and me to be the real blessing, the real source of nourishment to a lost and dying world. We become a conduit of blessing and service for Him. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." Isaiah 44, verse 3, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty." Let me ask you this morning, are you thirsty? Is your soul parched? Having gone through the trials of this world, the barrenness of this life, am I speaking to someone who'd say, "Oh, Pastor, I am so thirsty. My soul is parched and dry." That's the only requirement of coming to this water, for you to recognize your great need for Him. "I will pour water on him who is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring." Isaiah 58, verse 11, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Think of it. Water for drinking is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Water for washing is a symbol of the Word of God, its cleansing effect. "You're clean to the word that I've spoken unto you," our Lord said. And just as water satisfies thirst and produces fruitfulness, so the Holy Spirit of God satisfies the inner man, the soul, the unseen part of you, and enables us to bear spiritual fruit. Here, the Israelites, while they were reenacting this and commemorating a tradition that could never satisfy the heart. It was just that. It was just a ceremony. They were pouring out water, as beautiful and as symbolic as that is. And let me urge you here this morning, please don't let the ceremony and the things that we do to observe here mar you seeing the Lord Jesus Christ and His work for you. That work is invisible. The work upon the soul is an unseen work. We cannot tell what is happening in the hearts and minds as God's word goes forth, but we know this: my word shall not return void. It will accomplish all that I've appointed it to do. And we take great courage in that. People sometimes say, well, Pastor, do you get discouraged about not seeing much fruit or the fruit that you'd like to see? And of course, all of us would like to see changed lives and dramatic evidences of the Lord's work. But this I know, that my job and my calling is to preach and to teach this word. And I rest confidently that the fruit that it will produce will not be fully revealed until we stand before Him one day in glory. Jesus stood and cried out this great invitation, offering them living water and eternal salvation. Have you received this gift, this promise of salvation personally, or are you dry and thirsty in your soul? I want to direct our attention today to just that verse in verse 37. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And our thoughts will be based on three words: the word thirst, the word come, and the word drink. That's easy enough to do this morning, isn't it? That one verse and three words: thirst, come, and drink. These three important words in our Lord's invitation must be understood. We pray that the Spirit of God enable us to understand what He's saying here, to explain what it means to be saved and to become a channel where the Holy Spirit can flow from you and me as God intended for us to be a conduit of blessing for Him on earth all the days of our life. The first word there is found there in verse 37, and it is the word thirst. The second word there is the word come. And then the third word there is in the same verse, the word drink. Thirst, come, and drink. If any man thirst, notice that this is a conditional statement. I must tell you this morning that you will never find Christ precious or Him satisfactory to your soul until you first recognize your need for Him. People that aren't thirsty don't drink. And sometimes the body can fool us in thinking we're all right, and the doctor will pronounce, well, you're dehydrated. You must have fluids. But the soul is the same way. And the reason is because we can mask that thirst with other things that don't really satisfy the need, only that water can provide. The thirsty ones are the people who recognize their spiritual condition. Someone might be saying today, Brother Lamb, I don't even know if the Lord can save me or cleanse me. I've done unspeakable things. You don't know what is behind the facade that you see here today. And my answer to that would be, you're right. But that's not my concern. My concern is that you know your need of the Savior and His sufficiency to save. Again, I call our attention. I'll read from Isaiah 55. Ho, another announcement. Everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. So this water can't be purchased, can it? You might say, well, Brother Lamb, I have no means. Or I messed up my life. Or I have nothing to commend myself. You're in the right company this morning, because those of us who have come will tell you that all of our righteousness was as filthy rags. And we had to recognize that before we were made fit for salvation. The physician has not come for those that are whole and have no need of a physician. Christ has come and is offering His satisfaction of your soul's thirst. But you must recognize it. First, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without a price. It's not that it doesn't cost something. It cost the Lord Jesus His life. His body, His blood was given on our behalf. The prophet goes on to say, why do you spend for that which is not really bread? And your labor for that which satisfies not. People beat their head against the wall to obtain things that can never satisfy. Now, they're not wrong in and of themselves, but they have no capacity to satisfy the soul. And you eat that which is good, and let your soul delight in the fatness. Hearken unto me, incline your ear, come unto me. Do you see the invitation of the Lord? Come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You may be thinking, it may be too late for me, Pastor. And I would tell you, the time is now. Today is the day of salvation. What does the prophet say? Seek the Lord while he may be found. He may be found today. His word is open. His invitation has not been rescinded. In fact, we'll see in a moment, the very last words of the book of the Bible tell us, all ye come, come unto me. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. That word means repent. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Not just pardon, but abundantly pardon. Matthew 5, verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The problem is that many today are not hungering for the Lord, are thirsting for his righteousness. They're wanting something else to fill that big void, that hole in their life, and they're throwing all kinds of things in there that can never satisfy. Sadly, many people try to satisfy their thirst with the salty, thirst-producing things of the world. They try to satisfy their spiritual soul hunger with things, with possessions or relationships or positions or with notoriety or a million other things that only makes the soul more thirsty. We notice here in verse 38, our Lord says, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, usually we don't talk about the belly in public. I mean, it's just not something we discuss. But since our Lord brought it up, we might as well see what it has to say. What is the belly? It's that part of man which is never satisfied. Think of it. When you get hungry, where do you first realize it? And we may be even hearing it now. You may be hearing the rumblings of the belly desiring food. The belly always craves more. Philippians 3:19 describes the lost as being those whose God is their belly. They only look for what satisfies their desires. The belly is that part of man which is never fully satisfied, constantly crying for something else to satisfy its cravings. The remarkable thing is that once Christ rules in a believer's heart, not only is he satisfied, truly satisfied, but he begins to be a blessing. A satisfied person begins to be able to bless other people, which, by the way, is why you were left here. That we should glorify our Father which is in heaven. We're to be light and salt. The only light this world has is the light of God's people, giving forth his word and living out his word so that people can say, that's what grace looks like. That's what to be forgiven looks like. They're not perfect. It doesn't mean a perfect person, but it means one whose soul has been saved, his sins have been forgiven, has been covered. One of the signs of genuine salvation is real love for other people. One of the ways you can tell you've passed from darkness to light is that all of a sudden you begin to think about others. I mean, you care for those who cared for you. You liked your friends and your family, maybe, sometimes. But, you know, by and large, you just, you know, people were here or there. But one of the things when salvation comes, you begin to think about others. I wonder what they're going through. I wonder how I can help them. That person, their situation is pitiful. And you begin to pray. You're prompted to pray and to think about how you can to deal with them and help them. And you begin to realize you need to be right with people. One of the reasons the Lord left us this memorial meal is for us to examine ourselves and our relationships and to keep short accounts and to be made right with one another. And one of the sure signs that salvation has come is a concern with these relationships and maintaining them in a right way. One who's truly come to Christ becomes a river, a conduit of blessing to others. Our unsaved natural condition could never truly satisfy ourselves or others. You're really not fit to be the husband or wife or son or daughter or friend or whatever that you were meant to be until Christ rules in your heart. And then and only then can you really be the person you ought to be to other people. Because self is off the throne. Christ Jesus is enthroned. And then you begin to look at others through the eyes of Calvary. That's the first word, thirst. And so I would just ask you, have you recognized your thirst, and has Christ been the source of satisfying that thirst? Secondly, we see the word come. The great word throughout the scripture of invitation. Again, I think of Isaiah where Jehovah speaks to his prophet and says, come now, let us reason together. Think about it, God asking us to sit down with him and reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. Come, come. Only God can do that. You just try to bleach these red dyed pews into white cloth again. Impossible. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all stain. I'm told that the hardest stain to get out is red dye. Only that the blood of Jesus Christ alone is sufficient to wash away the stain of our sins. It is by coming to Christ, the source and the fount of every blessing, and receiving him that our emptiness is filled and our usefulness is realized. You were created for a purpose. You're not just a blob. You did not evolve from some mass. You're not an accident. Read Psalm 139 and see the great care that God took in molding and designing you and placing you in your mother's womb. And we can only come, Lord, how marvelous are your works toward me, your thoughts toward me. God has a purpose for you. He created you to bring him great glory and honor. And you can only do that by coming to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in repentance and faith. To those of you who do know him savingly, how was it that you received this blessing? Let's just examine that this morning. How did you receive that blessing? Did you buy it with money? 1,000 times no. You didn't buy your ticket to heaven. Did you pull some strings with somebody you know? Did you join something? Did you obtain it by some religious ritual? No. If you're trying to do it that way, you'll leave just as empty as when you came in here. Our Lord's table is a precious ordinance he gave to his church. And he said before he left, and when he instituted this supper, as oft as you do it, you do show my death until I come. It causes us to remember because we have such short memories, don't we? That's why the Lord gave one day in 7 for us to remember and commemorate him. When he gave the Sabbath, what did he say? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Why? Because we would be prone to forget. We would do our own business 30 days out of the month. But the Lord said, no, he was so gracious. He said, you need to remember and reflect on me, and this is what I want you to do. And as often as you take this meal, it's not to save a soul. It's not to commend you to God. It doesn't buy you a ticket into heaven. It's to cause you to search your heart and your mind and your relationships. I invite you today not to me or to this church, but I invite you to Jesus Christ. Come to him. He is here. Revelation 3 verse 20 gives that beautiful picture. The Lord says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, you hear his voice through his word. It's not my voice you're hearing this morning. It is the Holy Spirit of God speaking through his word. If you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. The greatest compliment is to share a meal with someone. I've been told the greatest compliment you can pay someone is to invite them into your home. You don't invite your enemies to sit down to a meal. You have it fellowship with those who you esteem. And our Lord says, I will come in and sit down and sup. I will fellowship with him and he with me. Come to Christ. Come to him even now as you hear his word preached. And go to him by faith and cry out to him, Lord, I need you to fill this emptiness, this thirst in my soul. Oh, I come and submit to your will and to your rule as Savior and Messiah. He stood in the temple in that great day and said, oh, anyone who comes to me, what does he say? If any man thirsts, the conditions are for anyone who will see their need. Do you see your need? We point you to Jesus and say, come to Christ. Come to him. He is a ready Savior. He's a willing Savior. He's standing today with outstretched, nail-pierced hands. And the third word we see here is found in verse 37. It is simply drink. You must partake of the water to be filled. If you are to find relief and blessing and soul satisfaction, you must realize that you have this need, that you're truly thirsty, and then you come to Jesus, the only real source of the living water. Sadly, many come to him. They hear of him. They come to the fount of every blessing, and they stop short of drinking. of partaking of him. The rich young ruler came to him one day and said, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And our Lord conversed with him. The rich young ruler, the Bible tells us, he went away sorrowful. He came, he knew he was thirsty, he saw the source of his salvation, but he went away sorrowful, unquenched, his thirst still there. Some come this far, and yet they are unwilling, for whatever reason it may be, to take the third step and drink, to appropriate him by faith. They never see him truly as the Lord and Savior for them, and they stop short of salvation. Horatio Bonar wrote, "I heard the voice of Jesus say, 'Behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live.' I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My soul was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." May the Lord bless his infallible and precious word. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, would you open the heart of those who needed this message this morning? Oh, Spirit of God, make them thirsty for Jesus Christ. May they come to him just now by faith. Where you are, you can cry out to him in your heart and say, "Lord, I come to drink. I'm so thirsty." Tell him your great need. And by faith, go to him just now. He will supply that need. He will quench that thirst. Drink of him. Oh, it would be like a little fish thinking they could take in too much water. Christ is yours, all yours. He wants you. You can have him. Take him by faith. Oh, Lord, bless your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.